Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are broadcasting as usual from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And if you are tired of the mega bank experience, and if you're at one of those banks, we won't mention any names, but if you're at one of them, you know what I'm talking about. If you're looking for a bank that can give you more personal service, but you want one that's big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them. I've found that at Renaissance Bank, and the clients that I've referred to Renaissance Bank have found that as well. So my suggestion is go to renaissancebank.com, find one of their local offices, and give them a call. And here's your first test. A live person will answer the phone. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Adam Rojas. Adam is managing partner, owner, founder of Belmore Consulting. Adam, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Let's talk about you and Belmore Consulting. How are you serving folks out there?
Sure. So Belmore Consulting is a sales training and sales coaching company that I founded after I left the corporate world. And really, our mission is to help sales teams unlock their full potential. And we really focus on doing that in three ways. One is inspiring. Two is innovation. And three is excellence. So what I mean by that is I want to inspire salespeople to really fulfill their potential in the sales organization. And I do that through some innovative and new ideas. And then finally, the excellence, right? Bringing the experience that I've got from my background and driving that performance within the sales organization.
Excellent. That sounds like we need to dive into all that. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about you and your journey that has led to you founding your firm.
Sure. I spent 25 years in the corporate world, started out in a small business B2B sales environment for a technology company based here in town. Through the next 15 years, I progressed into a variety of different sales roles, moving up market to larger enterprise global customers. I did technical sales and I did sales management and sales leadership. And then I was asked to kind of transition from a direct sales role into a sales training role. And so I was training thousands of salespeople across the country and really globally as well. And so that was a great opportunity to really learn more about what's involved in sales and in sales development. And from that, I moved into a consulting role within the company where I was consulting with business segments, sales business segments, on where the gaps were, really. And that was the starting point of where Belmore Consulting came to be, is really that opportunity to work with leaders in a business and understand what they were trying to accomplish and develop strategies and approaches for helping them become successful. And then, as we're seeing a lot in corporate world, we went through a restructuring at my company. And so that really gave me the opportunity to say, let's go a different path in life and let's really foster that entrepreneurial spirit that I've always had and take this knowledge and experience and expertise that I've developed over 25 years and bring it to companies small and large across the Atlanta area.
That sounds excellent, Adam. So let's talk about some of the issues with sales teams. And there are several things that you touched on there. Let's talk about why the gaps develop between where a leader and their sales team wants to be versus where they actually are.
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I think about it in three ways. One is that a lot of sales leaders are focused on a particular part of their business and they get very laser focused into what they do and how they do it. What they miss, though, is the trend and the change and how the market is moving. And so I think that's the first problem that a lot of sales leaders encounter. The second is an issue of time. Sales leaders historically don't want to take their salespeople out of the field to go through training, mm-hmm. right? So you've got a time issue there. How do I justify taking a seller who is being successful out of the field to train them with the hope that they become more successful? And then the third really is the salesperson themselves. They are historically stuck in their ways, right? They know what they do and they know how they do it. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So you've got really three issues that you've got to address within that sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's interesting what you say about the lack of awareness of what's going on in the market, because really the sales team should be really on the tip of the spear of that when it comes to where the company is.
Yes.
Am I being too hard on them?
You're not being too hard on them. Okay. Right? We have historically in sales had an approach that works, right? We go out to clients, we meet with them, we ask them about their business, we learn about their problems, we come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with that. Customers are, especially in the technology space, which is where I spent the most of my career, they are becoming much more savvy, right? I use the analogy a lot, and think about cell phones. 10 years ago, if you were to buy a cell phone, what'd you do? You had to go in the store, you had to talk to a salesperson, you had to understand the difference between this brand and that brand and the other. Customers nowadays, how do they buy cell phones? They go online, they pick the next model, and it gets direct shipped to them.
Right.
It's the same way in business technology sales. Customers have become much more savvy, but salespeople still take the approach of, I need to go learn about your business and ask you questions and uncover the business problems. The challenge is customers don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now salespeople need to be more innovative, more creative, and really be on the front end of the process. And we don't teach that in traditional sales training programs.
Are you saying they need to maybe diagnose before they get to the client?
Even more so than that,
okay.
They need to be insightful. They need to bring new ideas that maybe the customer hasn't even thought about yet, right? So think about what the trends are in a particular vertical that you're talking to, whether it's the retail space. How is retail going to change in the next 18 to 24 months? That's where a customer now becomes much more interested in what their salesperson has to say,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they know where they're at now. They have an idea of where they want to be. But how do you bridge that gap to get there? And that's really where the new, more successful salesperson comes in.
And this is obviously where you help, right?
Yes.
So talk about some of those specific ways that a sales, and I think this is true, don't you think, for more than just the technology world, right?
Yeah.
It's really widespread. People are smart. They've got access to a lot of information because the internet, whether they want it or not, they've got access to it. And yeah, they come better informed and less patient with the pitch and so forth.
Certainly.
So talk about how to be insightful. Now, that may seem like an obvious question, but I think you know what I mean.
I totally get what you mean. A lot of times we are so focused in our lane of this is what my product is. This is what my ideal customer profile is. This is what my product can do. But we really need to take that next step and think outside the box. And this is where a holistic approach really needs to come into play within an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is the marketing team needs to be engaged with the technology side of the house, whatever they're building or producing. And they need to be engaged with the sales organization to say, okay, here is what it does now. Here is where the market is going. Here are what the trends are in a particular industry. And to your point, this expands beyond technology. This is any industry.
Sure.
What are the disruptors of an industry? And so from there now, how does our product, this is where the producer of the product comes in, how does our product meet that needs? Mm-hmm. How do we enable our sales teams to articulate that value and that need to their customer? Because they're obviously the end user of the product. So it's a really interesting triad of organizations that need to come together. And there's another really interesting part to it. Marketing is so focused on the buyer journey. And you brought up earlier, and we've talked about earlier, the whole idea of information and how much information is out there. Mm-hmm. And so the buyer journey really is focused on what information I put in front of the customer. And right. That's great. That's what marketing focuses on. But the sales organization needs to understand what information the customer is consuming, not just from them, but from the competitors and from those outside resources. And now, how do I help the customer navigate through that myriad of information and really understand what's important and what's extraneous? And so that it's that confluence of I need to bring ideas and I also need to help a customer navigate through what they're already predisposed to think about.
Mm-hmm. I can see, and you correct me if I'm wrong, please. I can see how when you're working with a sales team, you're telling them to be more insightful and a little more proactive when it comes to what they share, that some of the pushback could be that is really not what senior management is paying us to do, right? I mean, and we get graded and edit this, and we get graded based on our product knowledge, right? Not necessarily our industry knowledge or the knowledge of our client. Is that a fair statement?
That is a really fair statement. And that's where really educating from a leadership perspective down on how important it is to shift the dynamic of what you do, right? So you're 100% accurate. We are so focused on, quite honestly, we're focused on the end result.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it's how do you get to that end result? What are the steps that are taking? What we've seen is that over time, in many organizations that I've worked with, the rate of success is going down. Mm-hmm. There's more competitors out there, especially in lean economic times. It's harder for businesses to spend money mm-hmm. and justify spending money. So now how do I change that curve, right? How do I change that downward angle? And really it comes from what do I need to do to be different? Mm-hmm. So sales leaders who are willing to be different, who are willing to buck the trend of you need to just focus on results, those are the ones who are going to ultimately find success and long-term success in this world. And that's really who I am talking to and what I'm driving home as I meet with my clients is you can't keep doing things the way that you did them 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
It's not going to work anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? You've got to do something different. You've got to change the way that you engage with your customers. And that's really what we're trying to do at Belmore Consulting.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Adam Rojas is with us, folks. Belmore Consulting is, again, the name of his firm. And he's the founder and managing partner of his firm. So, Adam, you talked about inspiring, and that works both ways, right? You're trying to inspire salespeople,
yep.
But salespeople on the other side of it, they really are called on to inspire, aren't they?
100%. So I'm a huge fan of Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
I watch everything he puts out. I've read his books. And for me, the epiphany started 15 years ago or so. I watched his TED talk on the Golden Circle. Mm. And the whole idea of customers buy from why you do what you do. And that really is the philosophy of Belmore Consulting. My why is to inspire salespeople and drive them to their why. Their why is twofold. One is personal. It's what they're doing, why they do what they do, but it's also why their company does what they do. And so a successful salesperson is able to articulate that why to their customer, which is what's going to drive that customer to buy from them. There's a lot of customers, companies out there that make the same products, but customers, again, will buy from the why. And that's really the focus of Simon's philosophy. And I've taken it to heart and I've incorporated that into what I do and how I do it and why I do it. And that's really where the inspiration, right? Inspiring those sellers to live their why, but also to help articulate the why of the company that they're working for.
That why can get confusing though, right?
Certainly.
Because if you're, and it depends on the point of view you're assuming as a salesperson. So if you're coming at it from the product features aspect, that why doesn't resonate, right? If you're coming at it from the outcomes those that product or service delivers, that's a whole nother matter, right?
Yep.
And that's where you started, you were talking, you referenced a word that I love, value.
Yes.
So let's talk about this piece of it, how you help salespeople talk in terms of the outcomes they deliver, which is exactly what resonates with their clients, right?
Yep. It's a great point. Customers don't buy what a product does. They buy what it does for them, how it impacts their business. So a salesperson really needs to understand where the impact, the value, to your point, lies within the organization, right? What's the driver? Is it going to improve my revenue? Is it going to improve my productivity? How is it going to impact my business? That really then becomes the why that a seller needs to articulate. Our product does X because it does this for your company, right? Or that's the circle. It allows your company to do what they want to do more efficiently, more effectively, more productively, more profitably, right? So that's really, to your point, that's where the value of it comes in. They don't buy a feature. A lot of sellers are really good at going
in. Oh, come on. I'm shocked to hear that.
a lot of sellers are really good at coming in and feature dumping on a customer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The customers don't care. In 25 years, I've never had a customer say to me, I bought this product from you guys because of this feature that it does. No, I bought this product because this feature allows my frontline employee to do this more effectively. That's why a customer buys a product.
Yeah. So salespeople, you would count on me to bring this up, Adam. Let's talk about being in sales and getting to the proposal, the price.
Yes.
And how do you counsel sales people about holding the line on price, selling price relative to value delivered or value realized? How do you talk about that with your sales clients?
So it starts long before you get to the proposal phase, right? If you are not identifying how your product, how your solution impacts a customer in tangible ways on the front end, then you are just walking in and throwing a price in front of them. So the first thing that I teach when we're in the phase of the initial customer meeting or the subsequent customer meetings is really understanding how you are providing value to them and what that means from a monetary perspective. And that's a really hard thing for a lot of sellers and a lot of customers to think about, because we think about monetary in terms of it's going to improve my revenue by X, right? $1,000, $5,000, whatever the case may be. But think about it in other terms. If it takes a front end person 3 hours to do something and your product takes it from 3 hours to an hour. Now that's 2 hours of extra time or three times the amount of work that they can do. Now that makes them X percentage more productive every day, right? So you've got to be able to articulate that on the front end and identify that on the front end with your customer. And then that is really what goes into your value assessment as you are presenting your solution, mm-hmm. right? You need to understand what the value it's bringing. And it's also really important in this highly competitive world to understand where you benchmark versus the competition. Because a lot of customers are talking to a lot of your competitors and understanding how your differentiators play in is key. The other piece, and you hit on that, is in terms of when you're actually proposing, how do you, A, identify what potential objectives a customer is going to have on the front end, right? That's part of your research.
Yeah.
If you don't walk in there knowing these are the three or four or five potential objections they're going to have, you're unprepared for your presentation. So you've got to identify what those objections are and how you are going to mitigate any of those objections.
Let me jump in and ask a question about this, because this is really good. Should you preempt a discussion about objections? Should you bring those up proactively on your own, knowing that if you don't, you're going to get them Does that build trust and credibility?
So it's an interesting thought. And over my career, I've gone back and forth, but I would not proactively bring up an objection, right? Unless the customer in the discussion has said, I'm also talking to this competitor. And then the way you bring that up is you articulate the benefits of your solution that maybe that competitor can't meet.
Right.
Right. So that would be the only way that I would recommend bringing them up. You shouldn't shy away from objections, but you need to allow the customer the opportunity to voice their thoughts and their ideas. And then that way you show how prepared you are by being able to articulate where the differentiators come in.
Great words and thoughts here from Adam Rojas with Belmore Consulting. Adam, talk about the types of clients you work with. You mentioned that you work mostly in the tech space.
Yep.
That's a big subject. Let's narrow that down a little bit.
Really, technology in a variety of forms and fashions, it's been where I've spent my career, either in whether it's software sales or telecom sales or any of the cybersecurity sales, any of those sorts of spaces. Financial technology, fintech, is another big area where I've focused, predominantly because most of my career was working with customers in that space. Mm. And I've worked with just about every large financial institution as a seller. So I understand the landscape really well, and I'm able to articulate where the differentiators are and where they're looking to be. So for me, I love talking to sales leaders in that space, sales leaders in the technology space. And one of the really big reasons why that sales leaders are important to me, don't get me wrong, there are other areas that I will talk to. I talk to our HR teams and I talk to the chief financial officers as well. But sales leaders really need to buy into the idea, not only of transforming their sales teams, but transforming themselves. Mm. And what I mean by that is coaching is such an important aspect of the sales process. And it's one of the most overlooked aspects of the sales process, right? A lot of times companies will bring in somebody like myself and we'll spend 2 or 3 days, we'll be doing a sales training and then let them go. And what happens? They all go back to their old habits, right? Because they're not being coached.
Right.
Part of what I want to drive with every one of my sales leaders is that commitment that you're going to continue the coaching process and really foster success in your organization. Mm-hmm. So yeah, going back to your initial question, I've taken a long path, is any sort of sales, B2B sales environment really does fit the model of what I've developed. But technology sales, because that's where I come from and that's the language I speak, probably fits it the best, and I can resonate the best with sellers in that space.
Adam, as we wind down here, I would love it if, and I'm sure our listeners would as well, if you could share a success story, one that helps illustrate the great work you've done. You've been involved in a lot of different contexts along your career, and I'm sure there are plenty you could share.
Sure. There's one that comes to mind, and it was working with my prior company, who really wanted to make a shift in how their salespeople engaged with customers. In technology sales, a lot of times you're pigeonholed and you are put into a specific line of business within an organization, mm-hmm. right? Technology sales, typically it's IT, right? But IT is only one aspect of most organizations. To be successful, you need to be able to engage with marketing, and you need to be engaged with operations, and you need to be engaged at a top level with a lot of the other leaders. So I developed a training curriculum designed for enterprise business that was really focused on how do I get outside of IT and talk to those other lines of business. Mm-hmm. And it involved training 3,000 plus sellers over the course of 6 months and sales leaders. And again, I mentioned earlier, coaching was a big part of that.
Yeah.
And so we developed the program, and we went out and implemented it. And what was successful about it was twofold. One was the engagement from the sellers. I mentioned early on in our conversation, sellers historically are opposed to training because it takes them out of the field. They already know what they're doing. Because of my experience and my background in sales, I am unlike a lot of the other sales trainers and sales organizations out there who don't have that level of experience. So I was able to really gain a lot of credibility with the sellers as I was delivering the training. They'd walk in the door, I don't know what I'm doing here, this is a waste of my time. And to a person, they walked out of the door saying, I learned something that I can now take and implement. So that was the first part of the success. The second part came over the next 18 months as we followed, where we saw an increase in revenue, an increase in close ratios, more deals coming across the table. And that's really the end result that everybody is looking for, right? So I think if I think about one of my greatest successes, it was that project where we were transforming the way that the business operates. And it's still almost 7 years later is still showing growth and success over time.
That's a great story. Great work. Adam Rojas, Belmore Consulting. Adam, this has been inspiring, innovative, and excellent.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure.
I heard a famous person say something like that. No, this is seriously, this has been great. And I can't imagine there are some folks that upon hearing this interview would like to be in touch with you. So let's tell them how they can do that.
Sure. You can reach me at Adam Rojas at Belmore, Belmore. consulting.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, either under my personal or my corporate LinkedIn pages. Those are pretty much the easiest ways to get a hold of me.
Terrific. Thank you, Adam. Adam Rojas, Belmore Consulting. We appreciate you coming on, and thank you for the great work you're doing.
Thanks for having me, John. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, just a couple quick things. I've just recently released a book. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. Now you see why I was asking those questions about value and pricing. Always learning. Hey, if you're a solo or a small firm professional services provider and you're having issues with your confidence, particularly your confidence in your value and your pricing and how to deliver engagement recommendations to clients, well, this book may be for you. Go to thegenerositymindset.com to learn more. You can also find the book at your favorite book retailer, wherever fine books are sold, as the old saying goes. And I want to thank you that are listening and who are such great supporters of this show. We've gotten this far because of you. You continue to support us in so many different ways, sharing the show on social media, sharing it with other people who you think need to hear about the services or products of the guests that we have. Please continue to do that work. You're helping us fulfill our mission to be the voice of business in North Fulton, and we appreciate that. We particularly appreciate being able to contribute to the success of the guests that we have on the show. Please continue to help us in that way, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much. For my guest, Adam Rojas, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.